welcome. It looks like we ran out of handouts. So if you're from a school with multiple people in here and you want to hand it to some, like hand yours off to someone else, otherwise there'll be a few slides that have the things on the handout if you just want to take a picture of it. Or at the end, my email's up there. Send me an email, I'll send you a copy of it. But hopefully this handout is helpful. It has the ideas that you can take and actually try in your classroom next week. We're going to talk through every single one of them. Tell you how to do it, tell you what things you need, and hopefully you'll leave with something that's helpful to you. So, as Nikki said, I'm a middle school teacher. I have taught 5th through 8th grade. This is my 14th year, and I've been at the same school the whole time, and I have the luxury of seeing my students come to my youth group at my church and follow them through high school. And actually, this is a first for me. One of my former students is now one of my colleagues teaching art, which makes me feel really, really old. But it is an awesome thing to kind of see them grow through all these different stages of life. So I have been a teacher for 14 years. I have helped in the youth ministry for middle school and high school at my church for the last decade. And so a lot of what I'm going to talk about today kind of is a marriage of those two things. It's taking youth group ideas and putting them into your classroom, because not all of our students go to youth groups. And so this kind of brings some of that into the classroom in a way that's manageable for us. So just a little bit about me. You might recognize some of these people in this picture. I am a product of Christian education, and in this picture is my family, and all of my siblings currently work in Christian schools. Some of them are probably your colleagues. My mom is a Christian school educator and administrator. She's been teaching for over 40 years, and it's just a passion of our family and our faith, and it just kind of brings it all together. And of course, I am the biggest Detroit Lions fan, so I have to proclaim that I was a fan long before it was cool to be a Lions fan, but go Lions. Hoping for that Lions Super Bowl. Happens to be the same week as my wedding, which would just be an awesome week in my life. So we'll see. So you might be thinking, GPS, what in the world is GPS? Well, GPS is the acronym for Grow, Play, and Serve. And we're going to talk about each of these areas, but basically, Grow stands for, or represents growing spiritually, growing socially, growing emotionally, things that our middle schoolers need. They're struggling in some of these areas, and so it's our job to kind of help cultivate that. Play. My kids are lucky that they still have recess. I don't know how many of your middle schoolers still have recess built into their day, but they don't always know how to win and lose well. And so giving them opportunities in a class where you can model how to work as a team and model how to win and lose well is important, especially when they turn on their TV and it's not always winning and losing well. And then serving. We talked this morning in the opening session about being the hands and feet. That's where we're teaching them. We're modeling that for them, not just in our school, but in our bigger community and in our world. So GPS kind of started on accident in our school. Like 3 weeks before my third year of teaching, we found out that we didn't have a class period covered. Maybe you've had that in your schedule before, too. I'm like, what do we do? So we thought about it. Well, we could use that time as another study hall. Yeah, maybe. We could use that time as another elective. Where do we find this teacher to teach this class? And so we started brainstorming some things, and we decided we had some areas of growth we wanted to see in our kids. And so we decided we would take that one class a week and use it more intentionally. So we saw that our students needed to work on social skills. This was long before COVID time. We've seen the need to work on social skills even more now. But 10 years ago, we needed it too. We wanted to teach them how to win and lose well. We wanted to teach them how to interact with their peers, but also with adults. Look them in the eye. Pay attention to what they're saying. Teach them how to do those things. We also had some things that we wanted to incorporate into our curriculum, and we didn't know where. We'll talk about some of those things that made their way into GPS. So GPS was born kind of on accident, and after that first year, we fought to keep it in our schedule. And we have had it in our school every year since then. It doesn't always look the same, and we'll talk a little bit about that, but it's always been a 1 day a week, one class period class. So at ICCS, it's a weekly class. We usually have it on Friday afternoons. That's when your kids are basically done for. They need something. Having another test is not going to go well. So we found our sweet spot is Friday afternoon. Usually, I really fight for it to be that very last class, because then if we make a mess, I can clean it up after and they're gone. I don't have to get my classroom ready for another class after. This year, it's a little earlier in our day, but Friday afternoons is that sweet spot. Maybe you have an ability to do this on Fridays, but it doesn't have to be. Our class is ungraded. We expect participation. Some days we get full participation. Some days a kid just sits there and you're like, yeah, I get it. It's Friday. It's been a big, long week. So, it's ungraded. They don't have to worry about getting an A in this. They just have to show up with a positive attitude and listen. It's low stakes. It's new things for everybody. So they don't have to be an expert at it. It gives them a chance to just be them, be a kid. And in our case, it's multi-grade. Now, I'm in a very small school. We have a 5th and 6th grade class, and we have a 7th and 8th grade class. And so for GPS, we come together. 5th and 6th grade teacher comes over to my room, and together we teach this class. And it is awesome to see 5th graders working with 8th graders and solving problems in our community. So at this point, you might be thinking, I don't have any time in my schedule for this. I teach so many other things. How in the world am I going to make time for this? Or maybe you're thinking, this is great, you're from a small school. My school, there's 200 eighth graders. How am I going to do this? Or I'm one teacher. You're saying you teach it with two teachers? How am I going to get somebody on board to do this? Good news. It doesn't have to look like my school. I'm going to give you ideas that hopefully you can take back and use in a variety of contexts. Maybe you decide that you're the 7th grade teacher for history. And once a month, you're going to get together with the 8th grade history teacher, and you're going to dedicate one class to bring your classes together and do something like this. Maybe you're like, I want to see what happens in my own classroom community. Maybe you dedicate one Friday of your schedule, once a month, once a semester, to try some of these things. See what it does to the community in your own room. It doesn't have to be once a week. You're going to see the effectiveness of it and the beauty of it when you just allow your students to come together. So work within the context that you have. Don't sit here and think, well, Chelsea's been doing this for 10 years and it always looks like this. No, it didn't look anything like this when I started. The ideas that I'm going to give you are all the things we've done over the last decade. I haven't done some of them in years. Some of them take a lot of work. So as I'm planning a wedding, I'm picking the ones that are a little less planning. Let's be honest. I'm picking the ones that don't need a lot of supplies because things are more expensive right now. So pick what works for you and try it out. If it doesn't work, wait for a different group. But I hope that you'll find something as we go through these ideas that works, that's helpful to you. So I'm going to go through, and if you didn't get your paper, there'll be a slide that has a bunch of grow ideas. There'll be one for play. There'll be one for serve. And I want to make sure you understand, I grouped them because they best fit in those areas. But for the most part, our ideas overlap into all those categories. You're growing while you're playing. You're serving while you're playing. sometimes you're growing and playing and serving all at the same time. I have some students who are like, Ms. Hibbler, is today a grow or a serve? I'm like, yes. They're like, no, tell me which one. You just want to know if it's a play. I get it. So as I go through these, don't think, oh, well, I'm doing all these things for play. There's some growing in there, too. So first, we're going to talk about some grow. So some of these ideas we do a couple times during the year. One of those would be GPS worship. So GPS worship is when I come up with a playlist of some Christian music videos. Make sure you have some kind of filter, because you never know what ads are going to pop up. But create a playlist. And then what we do is we kind of get ourselves ready. I give paper and coloring supplies. We get our comfiest library chairs and bean bags and things, and we get our room ready. And I have a few rules for GPS worship. You can't touch anybody, so you have to have a Miss Hibbler arm span apart, which is quite a ways. And you have to let people do what they're doing. You can't go and sit and talk to them. This is kind of an intentional quiet time, which our kids don't always get. You're giving them time to be quiet. They can write, they can draw, they can pray. They can just sit there and watch the screen. It's amazing which students choose to do some of the things. Some of your ones that you think, man, they can't sit still ever. They're the ones laying there watching the screen. So I pick some music videos, turn off the lights, and let them watch and pray and journal and listen. And the first year we tried it, we're like, I don't know how this is going to go. Are they just going to like make paper airplanes and throw them around? What's going to happen? And what we found is this is one of their most requested things. They love it. Sometimes they share some of the things with each other, and sometimes they fold it up and they stick it in their pocket, and you know it meant something because there's tears in their eyes. But GPS worship is a special thing. I have the luxury of, I work with church, so I have a subscription to Right Now Media. I also found something very similar called Youth Vids, and it's a free one. You don't have to have a subscription. But these two resources have a lot of short videos and kind of Bible study-like videos, some from like Francis Chan. Tim Tebow has some on there. They're just engaging short videos, and oftentimes they have questions for discussion that go with them that you can download, and so we will watch one of those and then have a discussion, sometimes in small groups, sometimes in larger groups, but those are really good for just getting other voices besides yours to your students, especially if they're people like Tim Tebow who they kind of recognize, right? So that's another thing we do have done for GPS worship. This activity I can relate. Explain it really quickly. So I split the kids up into groups of four. And we get that really big bulletin board paper. And we lay it across their tables. And everybody gets a marker of a different color. And I give them a prompt. Like, what is your favorite room in your house? And they draw it or they write it. What's something that scares you? They draw it or they write it, and so on. And then what, after they've drawn in their little area of their paper, we go through the questions again, and I ask them to discuss it with the people at their table. And if they had something in common, so let's say I wrote something and you wrote something, I would take my marker and I'd draw a line from my stuff to your stuff, saying, hey, I see you. I feel like that too. And at the end, there's lines going all over this paper. It's an easy visual way for our kids to see that they're not alone. Maybe they thought they were. Maybe they thought they were the only one who was afraid of fill in the blank. And they're not. And then for Gideon Country, if you haven't watched their music videos, they are top-notch for Christian music. They're like mini-movies. And one of our favorites in my class is the song Relate. I wish I could show it to you, just don't have time. But We use that one with this activity, and it is great. So I challenge you to watch it tonight. Candy bar elections. This is an election. When we have an election year, we do this. They have candy bar candidates. We had Reese's versus Crunch Bar the last time, and it got exciting. So what we do is we start with a primary. The kids give us their top candy bars. We vote on them, and we narrow it down to the top two candidates. And then they start campaigning. You worry that it would get bad. It really doesn't, because it's candy bars. One day we set up a green screen and we filmed commercials. There were so many meme references that I was like, I don't know if anybody's going to get this. They did. Right? They know those things. Pretty sure John Cena made an appearance in one of them. But anyway, they make commercials. They make posters. They campaign at lunch to the younger kids. Recess is a popular campaign ground. And on election day, we hold an election. And everybody in the school gets a vote. One year we did kind of go through and discuss all the ins and outs of counting votes. And it gets interesting. The kids, they are very invested. I asked my students if they remembered. My students now would have been young elementary school kids the last election. And they're like, of course, this one won. I was like, I didn't even remember that. But they do. They remember. It's a good way to help them experience the election process in a positive way. We're not talking about any of the actual candidates. And to them, it doesn't really matter that day. It's whether Crunch is going to win or Reese's is going to win. Get to know your Jenga. You know what Jenga is. I bought one at Goodwill. It was beat up and kind of old. And I wrote questions on it. We played Jenga. And you had to pull out the piece. And when you pulled out the piece, you read the question and you had to answer it. Easy. We also had a bonus piece that you had to do like a talent show. Sometimes they're like, please just give me a question. Don't make me do a talent. And other times you're like, okay, your time is up. Let's get to the next one. But it's an interesting, easy one. You can pull it out year after year. One of the things that we've done the last couple years and has actually become some of my current students' favorite thing is every Friday at the beginning of GPS, they have a little slip of paper, similar to this, on their table. And they know when they come in that they need to write something good that happened this week. It can be at school. It can be outside of school. But they have to write something good. For some of them, it's a little hard. But everybody writes something by the end. And then they fold it once. They throw it in this bucket that I have. It's an old pretzel bucket. I have a picture of it later. You'll see it. And we just toss them in there. And at the end of a month, if we have students who had birthdays, they get to come and pull some out. And we read through the something good. Usually, if we have time each day, I'll ask for, like, the top, like, give me three good things that happened this week. It's just a way to keep things positive. At the end of the year, we usually have to go through a couple buckets, but we dump them all out, and we read through them. And it is an amazing way to see how God has worked through our students throughout the school year. Things they didn't remember, they're like, oh my goodness, yeah. Remember how we were praying so hard for that, and now it's one of our good things. So it's an easy visual. It takes 3 minutes usually at the beginning of class, but it's been a very good thing for us to do. Okay, we're going to do this Common Towers activity together right now. So I'm going to explain it, and then I will have you split up into groups. And we're going to have to get creative, because I hoped there had been tables in here, but there's not. And there's a lot of us, so you might have to use some chairs as your table surface or the floor as your table surface. Just embrace the extra challenge. So I'm going to have you get into groups of 5 or 6. I don't want groups smaller than 5, and you don't want groups bigger than 6 if possible. Each group's going to get some index cards, and what you're going to do, and this is where you got to listen really carefully, you need to determine in your group things that every single group member has in common. Now, you cannot do the easy ones. I always have to tell my students this. You cannot write, "We all have eyes." Yes, we know you all have eyes. We're all human. Yes, you are all human. Think a little more outside the box, especially as teachers. But maybe you find out you're all firstborns, or you all have a dog. On each card, you can write one thing. Now, after you've written your things on each of your cards, you're going to use these cards to build the tallest tower in the room. You can only use these cards. You can manipulate them however you want. But you're not using books, we're not using our cell phones, we're not using things you stored away in your teacher bag. You're using these cards. So, one item per card, because you want the most cards so you can build it as tall as you can. I'm going to give you 8 minutes, and I'll tell you when the time will start. But you're going to find the things you have in common. One thing per card. Has to be every member in your group. So if you're a group of six and only four of you are oldest children, can you write this on this card? Nope. Sorry. Think of something else. I'm going to start off. Nikki's going to help me pass out cards. I'm going to have you get into your groups, and then we'll come bring you cards. We're going to start with 10. If you need more, just let us know, and we'll get you more. So if you could get into groups of 5 or 6. Yeah. to a seat.
Oh, all our wonderful people.
Yeah, okay. Skills, listening skills, also problem solving skills. Not everybody's towers stayed standing the first time. You also had to kind of think outside the box. Okay, she gave me flat cards. How can I make a tower that's tall? Right? How can I make a tower that's tall that's actually going to stay standing for longer than 5 seconds? Right? So this works on STEM. This works on communication. This works on community building. And it's just a cool little one. I did this one for the first time with my students this year, and they loved it. So hopefully this is one that you're like, oh, I have index cards. I don't even have to really think about this one. Put them into groups. I gave my class 10 minutes because it took them a little bit longer to figure out what they had in common, and then they got rolling. So that's grow. If you didn't get a chance to take a picture of it, I'll leave it up here for another second. One of the things that I always do if I'm going to go online and buy something is I read the reviews. Anybody else? I'm not going to buy something without looking at the reviews. So a few weeks ago, I put out a blast, Facebook post, Instagram post to my people that I've taught this class with, people that I've taught in this class, and I was amazed at some of the things that they sent me back. So interspersed are some of their reviews, so you'll see those occasionally. There's my kids. I didn't want to show you their ideas, but we had some interesting ones. This is our pretzel bucket. This is how full it is after the first 8 weeks of school. So this is one of my current seventh graders. I like that that every GPS we write down what we're thankful for, and at the end of the school year we get to see them all. That's what we talked about before. It's really nice for culture setting to have dedicated time to work on social skills, to do service learning, and create that shared vision. This is one of the teachers I taught with. These kids are in college now. I remember when I was one of the younger ones in middle school, I got the chance to know the older middle school kids a little more. By being the bigger, more mature kids, allowed me to learn from them too. It's definitely special to have a place where the big kids get to be with the younger ones. This is my student who's now one of my colleagues. So let's talk about play. Obviously, it's one of my students' favorite ones because they're like, yes, extra PE. So here's some of these take more equipment than others. Some of them are just ones that we've created. They might have the same name as another game, but they're a similar version. Like Taylor Swift's version, right?
Yeah.
Capture the chicken. Okay, let's capture the flag. But with rubber chickens. It makes everything more exciting. The interesting thing is how from year to year their strategy changes. Some of them are more offensive-minded, and some of them are definitely more defensive-minded. We had one year where they just stared at each other. Like, willing the other team to come across. We're like, guys, this is so boring. Somebody make a move. So, it's just kind of interesting to see how their brains think about this game. But easy. You don't have to go with a chicken. Pick something random. They'll be excited about it. Radioactive River, there's lots of different versions of this. You can do it with carpet squares. You can do it with PE equipment. You can do it with big, like, gym mats. Basically, the idea is you have to get your team from one side of the gym to the other. Nobody can touch the ground. If they do, they fall in the radioactive river, and you have to start over. Again, team building. Think outside that box, right? Use the supplies you have. Not everybody has the same supplies. Yeah, that group had jump ropes. They could pull them. You don't have those, so how are you going to get there? Game of Things. This is an actual board game, but we don't play it like the actual board game. Basically, I give them a prompt, like, what is something you would never find in a vending machine? Then everybody gets a piece of paper. They write down their answer. They bring them up to me with their name on it. And then I read through them. And we go around the room, and you have to try to match the answer to the person. You have to listen to each other's. You have to kind of know each other a little bit. A lot of times they'll put things that they think somebody would expect of someone else, but it's really them. They have strategies. And when you guess someone's, they're out for that round. You're trying to be the last one standing. One time, with that vending machine one, I was stuck in the vending machine. So that made it interesting. Fishbowl. Fishbowl is a game with three rounds. It just uses little slips of paper, like mine over here somewhere. If we have time, which I'm not sure we will, plus we get too loud apparently, we would play it. But it's three rounds. Round one, it has two teams. Round one is a mix of like charades. So round two is taboo. So you can give any clue you want without saying that word. Round three is more like password. So you get one word only. The cool thing is the words are the same. The kids write down on that slip of paper a noun. By round three, they've heard those words probably a couple of times. They know what words are in that bucket. So they have to get creative with that one word that they get to use. This game can take 5 minutes. It can take 10 minutes. You just need paper and the ability to read what they write. That's the biggest problem. Chalk messages on the sidewalk. We like to do this on the first warm day in the spring. Or, like, we did it this year to celebrate the first month of school being done. We just went outside with chalk and we filled the sidewalk with positive messages. We made it through a month of school. You rock. Have a great weekend. Just as the rest of the school is walking out, they see those things. Haven't had any issues with people writing things they shouldn't because they know everybody's going to see this. Board game groups, again, we're trying to teach them how to read directions, work together, put them into small groups. What's in the box? We all buy things from Amazon. We have boxes. Cut some holes. Works best if you cut them from the side. So you have the box open to the room. Cut two holes in the side. As the teacher, when no one is able to see that, stick something random in that box. Bring your students in. Have them put their hands in and try to guess what's in that box. I've done a rubber snake. Hasn't gone so well. I've done a plate full of whipped cream. That gets messy. But put something random. They can't see it. Have them guess. T-shirt design and screen printing. On that picture back a few slides, you saw my kids all wearing T-shirts. We design T-shirts, and we put the image on the shirts using citrus cleaner. So there's citrus cleaner called Citrusol. I think you get it at Trader Joe's. It lasts forever. I bought it probably 7 or 8 years ago. But you can take a regular photocopied image, reverse it so it's the right way on your shirt, put that image face down on your shirt, use a spoon and a sponge with some of this solution. Use the spoon as your force with your thumb. Your thumbs get tired. And you can peel away that paper and have the image on your shirt like a screen print. Cheap. I think the solution cost like $10 when I bought it. We've made dozens and dozens of shirts out of it. Let them design something. It doesn't have to be anything too fancy. That art teacher that I had as a student 10 years ago, she wore hers to school the other day. She's like, yeah, this is my GPS shirt. You're like, what? You were in GPS? It's a little faded, but she still has it. They hold up pretty well. So those are some play ideas. Here's one of our kids, fall, y'all, because it was kind of the beginning of fall. What I enjoy the most about GPS is that we help people out, and I like that we play games. I loved how we came together as a whole group. I also remember the short videos we'd show them and then have discussions about them. They were always so meaningful. Overall, the atmosphere and vibe of the class were so positive. I absolutely loved that class. So, serve. Serve may be the one that takes a little more thought, right? We want to be intentional. And often, our big serve projects come from a need that we see. But some that we can do pretty easily without any planning is clean up the playground. Clean up in the fall, clean up in the spring. Hand out some garbage bags. Walk the fence, right? Take ownership of the space that we have. Keep it clean. Secret Service Challenge, we do this usually once a year. We just finished ours. I showed them a video that has kind of random acts of kindness and like that paying it forward idea. And then we challenge each other to do a random act of service for people for the next week. Hold doors. Smile. Get ready for school without complaining. Clean out your parents' car. Make your lunch. Those kind of things. Things that they can do, but they don't always think about. And then we come back a week later and we talk about how our weeks were different because we were doing kind things for each other. We've done a lot of hurricane relief projects. If you remember, a few years ago, it seemed like there was a new hurricane every few weeks. So we did some of these projects that were very short, and some of these took a little bit longer, but we did Hats for Houston. We got to wear hats to school and pay a dollar, and we sent that money to an organization who was sending supplies to Houston. Flip-flops for Florida. They got to wear flip-flops to school, which normally they don't in our school, so that was a big deal. We did Blessing Buckets for Irma. Blessing Buckets was an organization that we partnered with, and that one took a little bit longer. We went and collected money for the month of November, and each day the kids would go and collect the money from the different classrooms. They counted it up at the end, and I think we were able to sponsor 8 Blessing Buckets from our school. But the kids took ownership of it. They decided how they were going to do it. They decided how long it was going to be, how they were going to advertise that. October is Pastor Appreciation Month, so you might have to hold this one for next year's idea. We haven't done this much because it's a lot of work, but we hosted our pastors for a pastor's breakfast. We made them pancakes and things, and then the kids did some presentations of what they had been doing in Bible class. A few years ago, we adopted a family at Christmas time through the Angel Tree program. If you're not familiar with the Angel Tree program, it is families that have a parent or both parents in prison. And so we partnered with that organization. They gave us some names and then some wish lists. And then we kind of ran with it. So a couple of different years we did this. It didn't look the same both years. One year the kids set up a coffee and hot chocolate stand at parent-teacher conferences and got donations for that, and we used that money to buy the Christmas gifts. Another year, the kids went out and asked family members if instead of buying them one of their presents that year, they would give them the money to use for this project. And not surprisingly, their parents were like, of course. You want me to give money instead of giving you a gift? Sure. But the cool thing about this was we actually got to take the kids. We counted up our money. We knew our budget. We took them shopping. They got to pick out the gifts. We made our own wrapping paper. We wrapped the gifts. One year, the family actually came. They contacted us and said, can we come to you? And we're like, I guess. We cleared it with parents and made sure that that was okay. And this mom and a two-year-old came and sat by our classroom Christmas tree and opened their gifts. And that's, like, it sticks with our kids. Those kids that I've had 10 years ago are still talking about, yeah, that little girl. And they're like, wow, she'd be old now. Yeah, she would. Shoeboxes with Operation Christmas Child. This is a little bit different than you might expect. So we all know about Operation Christmas Child and the shoeboxes. What we did one year is we partnered with the drop-off location, and we went and we helped count boxes and put them on pallets and wrap them up and be that intake of the boxes. It gave us a different view of how wide scale that project is. This is an easy one. Lower grade reading buddies. You teach middle school. Find a first grade teacher. Their kids love to be around the big kids. Partner them up. Read together. Find a spot in the hallway. Let them show you their cool reading spot in their classroom. We've done this a few years, and it's a really special thing when you can see the little kids with the big kids. Last year at convention, I learned about a cool animation site. Went and used it with my kids and the first and second graders. We had them draw pictures. We told them they could draw any person or animal. They just had to have two arms and two legs and a head, because that's just the way that the structure worked for the animation. And then we put them on their Chromebooks and put them through this program and got to animate the younger kids' drawings for them. It's pretty cool. They were pretty excited. I think they were more excited when they realized that they could, like, make them dab and do the flaw, like, all these different things. One group figured out that they could take the head off of the person, which got really interesting. There's a group at my church called the Joy Group. Stands for Just Older Youth, and Senior Citizens Group. And in a couple weeks, they're coming to my classroom, and we're going to play board games with them. These are people that maybe they have middle school age grandkids, maybe they don't. Maybe they just see middle school kids in a bad light. This is an opportunity for us to be with them and play some games. I'm excited to see it happen. It's a cool partnership with our church that we're trying. But if you have a nursing home near you or a senior center, partner with them. So the students, I like how it's time to have fun while learning about God. It's like youth group games and devotion. Now, this quote, when I read it, I was like, yes. I never tell my kids that it's supposed to be like youth group. In my mind, it's like youth group because that's what I do on Wednesday nights. But they see it. They see that this has a different feel than just regular class. So it's kind of cool. I like the flexibility of the class. It was a good opportunity to use team building exercises or activities to bring students together, especially dealing with social issues within the classroom. It was also nice for any lesson that you wanted to teach that didn't quite fit into the curriculum or schedule. That was like our candy bar election. Or teach them some life skills. I also love that it provided students a way to give back to the school and to their community. I really enjoyed doing the candy bar elections. It was a lot of fun. Students got really into it. Yes, they did. They ran positive campaigns, and it was fun to watch their commercials that they made. We actually showed them on the projector at lunchtime, and it was pretty cool. I think GPS is an important class because if you're having a bad or difficult time with things, GPS helps you relax, feel better. This is a kid who's gone through a really rough series of events lately. And yeah, like, it's their safe place. And that's what we want all of our class to feel like, but this purposeful, like intentional, create that space for them. So, We've got 9 minutes. I'm hoping to dismiss you just a little for lunch, early for lunch, because that's always a good thing. But questions? Any of these ideas that you want to pick my brain about a little bit more?
What was that animation website?
Ooh, I would have to. If you leave me your email, I will look it up and find it, because I don't remember off the top of my head. But I will look it up for you if you send me an email. Any others?
I know this would work in a lot of different timelines, but how long were your classes that you had?
So our classes are typically 35 to 40 minutes. So a little bit shorter than the time we have today. Like that activity that we did fit pretty well into the time frame that we would have in a normal GPS. I gave you guys just a little less time than I would have given them. And then we talked through, and you could do this too, where the team that had the tallest, I had them read all the things that were in common. One, to make sure that they didn't have a bunch of blank ones in there, but also to hear some of those things. We learned in that, when we did that activity, one group, all of them had been to Disney. All of them had parents that were still together and not divorced, which that one surprised me, considering the context of things that we have these days. So just some of those things that they learned about each other was pretty cool. But yes, most of them fit in that 35 to 40 minute. When we do our activity with the Joy group in a couple weeks, we're actually using a double class so that we have more time since we're having guests come in. But if you let other coworkers know ahead of time, usually you can figure out how to have a little extra time on a Friday instead of having something else, right? Any other questions about any of these? Okay, well, I'm going to let you out early. We don't have time to play fishbowl.